This is CliffCentral.com.
Yes, CliffCentral.com.
Okay. Yes.
Right.
Oh, sorry, I must pull myself towards myself.
No, no, it's fine. It's just, I can't believe, but this is one of the nice things that's great about South Africa is that you can have a song that gets remixed by the EFF called Zupta Must Fall. It's allowed, okay? It's what we do.
Opportunism is king.
Good morning, Mabale Moloi.
I'm Timi Meraki.
But why do you always Englishicize your like...
It's not even Englishicize.
You are coconut knighting it. Wait. When you are a coconut, you coconut.
My headphones are not working out for me. Why are you judging the way I speak?
I just don't understand why you always say I'm Timi Meraki. Or maybe that's because that's what
I like being Timi Meraki. And as a South African or a South African, I have every right to be Timi Meraki when I want to be Timi Meraki. To be Timi Meraki when I need to be Timi Meraki. To be Timi Meraki when I need to be Timi. See, there are many options. But you know what? A rose by any other name will smell as sweet. Timi Meraki by any other accent will taste as good.
But
drops mic, walks away.
Yeah, no, that's nice. But doesn't it take you back to those school days when your name would just get butchered and then you would be called all sorts of things and it was just like, oh, okay.
Yeah, but now
I've always been Mbali, and this was also among black people, ne? Because they think I'm saying my own name wrong. No, not the flower.
I am glad you did immediately refer to the race issue by saying even the black people, which means in this issue of mispronunciation of names, you were already polarizing the topic by making it one
yes,
that
comrades,
places a race
I didn't,
over another. And it is not about that. Mabale, your name is a problem. Even
my
to my
name
people,
is it, not
it's
a an problem.
Illusion. No, no, no. It's one
Why
of those things.
Is my name a problem?
You know that thing that approaches you and it looks sweet and innocent? Kanti, you potent.
But that
your name is like a silent fart. You heard nothing, but suddenly you collapse.
Okay.
Because then she's Mabale.
Mabale.
Mabale. You hear this? Do you hear? I am struggling.
No.
It is not a race thing. It is about people who have difficult names. Period.
Okay.
I met a guy. I went to school with a guy who was called Asiri Ganagarakn. Asiri Senarhatni.
Oh my God.
Asiri Senarhatni.
But you could change
that
it every time.
That is an Indian name. Whereupon you are not going to go and fight every... Oh, you blacks and whites can't speak. No. There are lazy tongues and there are unlazy tongues. I want every single South African, black, white, Indian, colored, pink, yellow, mushroom, whatever you are. If you know your tongue is lazy, your tongue is stiff, your brain and your tongue get into a debate when you're trying to say a name, and then by the time you're releasing something, it's simply because the mouth said, listen, while you guys are debating, this person is waiting to be named. So me, I'll just throw something out, which is a split difference between what the brain is getting, what the ears have heard, and what the mouth can release. It is not a race thing. It is because I've heard white people properly say tsunami without a problem. And I've met ones who can't say tsulufel. So it is not a race thing. It is about what is the name.
Okay, comrade.
Hey, man, Kim. No, I get angry. You know what happens?
No, but you know what?
Africans wake up like,
I wasn't
let's
even...
have some coffee and... now, where's my race card?
No, I wasn't even trying to polarize. That's why I said even the black people get my name wrong. I could have conveniently left that
what
out.
What you're saying
no,
is
because
that black people are the exception.
No, no, no.
Are the exception. White people are the rule in mispronouncing your name.
Because
I'm here to fight for my white people. If you are listening, I'm on your side, guys. You'll find me in Woolworths. I'm on your side, Baba.
Bona, when I used to read the news...
Hey, now we are showing off.
No, I'm just trying to say.
I said when you were a news anchor.
I would break out into a cold sweat whenever a name would come across. Because I'd be like, okay, so now I'm about to go through this tunnel.
Yes.
And Lord knows what's about to come my way. And I don't know what I'm going to look like when I come out on the other end of the tunnel. Because here's the thing, is people will tear you to millions and millions of pieces when you are sitting in a chair reading from an autocue because they expect the world from you.
Yes.
And I'm like, but guys, I mean...
talk about Mr. LaRox.
And then, you know, Bomut.
Merace.
Bomarace. But Duvenage or Duvenage.
No, but you see there now, this is where you can polarize these things. Because this is where I have a problem. The only people I find who, and you know, because people always go, Mario, well, not always, but you know, the few I've spoken to, who say, but do you notice how this thing of trying to take over and what, and power, hunger is usually the white people. Like, they're always trying to take over, trying to colonize, trying to. And I said, well, it's not necessarily true, but if we look at what they do with their languages, there's a high possibility they have such, they are such power mongers that they even oppress the alphabet.
How did they oppress the alphabet?
Like, where you see it, you see the bus, it says deport. And you're thinking, yes, deport is what you put on the stove. And they say, no, but the T is silent.
It's dead.
So this poor T was minding its own business. They fucking took it, put it on the end of this word. Yeah. And they said, stand there and shut up. Like, why is it there if I can't say it? It's Mare, not Marais. Why is the S there?
Yeah, you know, it's like neighbor as well. Yeah. You really didn't have to get into neighbor. No G. Where's the G there in name? The word neighbor.
The G-H. N-E-I-G-H. No, but that one is different because what they're saying is that the G fornicates with the H, thereby creating a new baby, which is why it's a hey. It's a nay, not an g. The G and the H come together and make this beautiful baby.
But you know what? Before we go on this tip of you know, just attacking the white people, because Usbongile was telling me this morning about how in the real hardcore untainted isiZulu,
yes,
they don't pronounce el; it's pronounced as something else. Ne? If I get that wrong, I hope Usbongile. Oh, sorry, they don't pronounce the R as
Kisi. I was gonna say
they
yes.
don't. Oh, you know
they
what?
Speak like Chinese people.
They don't pronounce the R. Ne? That's in the real authentic isiZulu. Mm. And the reason I got it confused with the L is because in the real authentic Sesotho, they used to put an L but pronounce it as a D.
They still do. That's proper Sesotho.
Yeah, that's yeah. No, that I'm saying the proper authentic languages. Mm. I need to mind you. We've made these languages dirty. It's like a kid who went out in his shorts and he comes home and his mother yells at him. He's like, "Why? When did the pathway made it till?" And then it has to go into the washing machine. So yeah.
No, the truth is. So you see, Johannesburg is where languages come to die. Finish and clap.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But they need to though, if we're all going to understand each other, mm-hmm. right or mm-hmm. not.
No, I hear you. Mm. As long as we acknowledge. Because, you know, sometimes when I'm listening to the radio, I start to get annoyed. Like, I'll listen to these, you know, young tippy toes. And they will speak. When every language you're speaking is bad, I worry. Because I feel like when you go on radio, yes, I get it. Maybe your target market is younger people, whatever. But we need to encourage each other to speak languages properly. So my problem is, if your English is bad, but so is your mother tongue.
Oh.
Where is the hope for you? What must can happen?
Mm.
You know, because I'm listening and I'm trying to give a chance. But then I'm like, yo, listen to this child's grammar. I'm like, okay, I'm going to let it slide. English is not your mother.
But don't you think it has something to do with the fact that, okay, so for example, in Joburg, you can speak a mixed masala of languages, combine them, mush them up all together.
But know it before you combine it.
But then there's also this thing of, you know, like this modern day lingo that infiltrates its way into how the way that people speak. You know, the fact that people will say, yeah, slay. You know, like those modern day lingos that also creep into people's languages. And then, like, don't you think that all these things, at the end of the day, they come together and they just really mess up how children growing up in modern day times are picking up language and using it effectively and.
Here's my thing. There's a level of intelligence that needs to be acknowledged when you can play on words like, you know, slaying and fleek. When you go, this is the original meaning of the term. And this is what this person has done with it. And it's clever that it's come to mean this because it still pays homage to the original meaning.
Mm.
Now, if I'm doing...
To me, by the way, is...
Eating McDonald's. Don't judge me.
No, I'm not judging you. I just... We must explain why it's going... There are going to be certain sounds coming, you know, emanating from you.
Yes, no.
Because people could think that you're multitasking here, doing some other salacious act while you are on the...
Salacious, Bona. You see? She knows the meaning of salacious. Tomorrow, then salacious is the inward with the youth. Hey, Choma. But salacious, see what salacious. But they don't know what that means.
They don't know what it means.
I mean, there was a time ambiance was the thing. And everyone was like, oh, Choma, let's go out, Pella. We need ambiance. Oh, Choma, was the party. Oh, Choma, ambiance. Like, okay. First, find out what ambiance means. Then find out who these cool people who you've heard say ambiance were referring to when they said ambiance. Before you start turning something that is a noun into a verb, into an adjective, into... You must just slow down. Don't just jump into the fashion. It's like clothing, for example. You know something is in fashion. You don't jump. Look at me with my mkaba.
Yeah,
and then I hear Uguti, who tank top is in. And then there's to me tanking. No.
That is still one of the biggest problems.
Same thing with language.
That we suffer with as young people is when... Beyonce makes something trend. I must not forget, Hora, I'm not shaped like Beyonce. So I'm not necessarily going to look that great in something that she made popular and trend. This is
very important. Thank you.
Okay. 0861-555-189 if you'd like to join in on the conversation. It's now a month that I've been staying at this new place of mine, which is nice. And there is an issue that has developed in the last week or so, I think, where my neighbors upstairs, it's an entire family of people. So it's a mother, a father, and their children. But a young family, you know, like young people in their 30s or whatever. But I don't know what's happening upstairs. And I even tweeted this last night and I said, I don't know how to confront my neighbors because it sounds like they're running a 24-hour bowling alley up there. I don't know what's going on.
It might be the kids with their bowling keys, eh?
Really?
Ooh, no.
The whole day, though. Literally the whole day.
It's a kid with one of those plastic bike thingies. Because I remember when I had my first kid, we still lived in a flat, and we got him one of those little plastic bike thingies. And I know it makes a heck of a noise, but you're the joy on their faces when they're playing on that thing. Until one scary neighbor came once and screamed at my child. And needless to say, he didn't end up in hospital. But the point is, I learned that day that those things are bloody loud.
Okay. See, I would never scream at anybody's child because I don't know what I could potentially be facing. But it does raise a good question, though, which is, how do you confront your neighbor to try and complain about something that they are obviously doing, which is inconsiderate? And I don't know if it's a case of they're not aware that they're being inconsiderate, or maybe am I just being too uptight? But, you know, this has been ongoing for a couple of days now, and it's loud. Like, it goes on the whole day. I wake up in the okay, well, not the time that I wake up, because it's like 4:30 in the morning, and nobody's awake at that time. But I'll get home, and it's loud, and it's ongoing, and then I'll step out and do other things. And then when I come back later that evening, it's still loud and ongoing, and I think to myself, but what's happening up there? But I mean, okay, that's a feasible explanation that you put.
But
my question still remains, how do you confront your neighbor and say to them, Bon, here is the problem. I don't want to fight, but you need to know that this is a situation. Now what do we do?
You see, that's exactly how you need to do it. Because I'll tell you, my irritation is, your sectional title, man, once you choose that kind of life, you must know sectional title comes with a catch. And the catch is you have people who live very much in your space. So, yes, enjoy your space. You've paid for it, but so is everybody else. If you have a problem, I think you do start off by going to that person directly. I can't stand people whose first thing is to call security or to go and complain to the body corporate.
Like,
that's BS. Yeah, because for me, it's not neighborly. Remember, you may be complaining like this now, but you never know when you might need help from this neighbor. And now if you already established that your rules of engagement are you're bitching about them to body corporate, you know. So I reckon you, the way you just told me now, in no way did you sound bitchy, did you sound like a moaner. You literally sounded like, this thing is disturbing me and I need it to be addressed. Because they probably don't even realize. They probably think, we've closed all the doors. This thing's making noise inside the house.
Probably.
They don't realize that because there's a ceiling beneath them. They are not the floor. That noise is traveling down to you.
Yeah.
Now I say go speak to them. Because you know what happens, guys? Some people are like, but then what if they're like this? I'm like, go and establish that's what they like. They're those people who you respectfully ask to turn it down, or you tell them about a noise, and then they're very ugly about it, even though you've humbled yourself to go and speak to them. From that point, you know, okay, this is how you want the engagement to be. I will give you exactly what you want.
I already know that one of my neighbors I can't trust, and I will not do anything with or for her because because there was that incident where after I just moved in, and then I needed to plug in my electricity meter into an actual electricity source because we were setting it up, and then the guy said, "Well, go to your neighbor and ask because you need somebody who's got running electricity already. Go to your neighbor and ask them." And I knocked on this woman's door, and she wouldn't even open her door to me. she would not even open a door, and she's like, "Who are you? What do you want?" And I said, "I've just moved in, blah blah blah." And she said, "No, you can't come in here and plug into my electricity." I'm like, "Look, lady, this man told me that this is what I need to do. I just need your help." And she was like, "No."
Wow. So,
and now I know where the line is drawn with her.
Is she old?
She's old.
Yeah, well, can't blame her.
Yes, I can.
No, I can. They're so paranoid, old people. Then they think you want to steal her electricity.
But I don't want to. I'm not going to steal anything from you. And this is the problem with people. Is they must let go of their freaking insecurities and their judgments and their assumptions.
Yeah,
and
but
their,
this is Joburg, eh?
No, but still.
Even me, I don't trust. But something like
but
that.
But how could you not trust me?
Let me count the ways.
The look that I just got.
Let me count the ways.
Yeah, you know what? Such is life. I was very excited. Well, not very excited this morning, but I felt a little bit like some kind of a hero when it was said in the news that the price of petrol is going up tomorrow. And I was like, yes, and I already filled up yesterday. But it's not because I was being smart or anything. It's because I literally hit empty. And then I had no choice but to go in and fill up. But, you know, I don't know that. Look, the price of petrol, as with everything else in life, is always going to go up. Ne? And then with petrol, sometimes it comes down. And so I feel like maybe we need to let go of the hysteria and the excitement that comes with petrol prices going up and down, even though I understand that people hate the fact that they're going to have to be paying more now for something, because really, I can't afford to be paying more for anything else.
I must tell you the truth. It used to bother me hugely when the petrol price was going up because I was using taxis. So this is back in the day, you know, before I arrived in life. And
Before you arrived, okay.
Before I got to use my fingers for other things other than combat and combat.
Oh, okay.
And it was stressful for me because I knew what the taxis do is they will hike the price with the petrol, but they will never bring it down with the petrol. And then the next hike will come, and they won't say, "Oh, but last time it went down, we didn't take down." Then they'll hike it up again. And so that's when it, I don't know if they still do it like that, but back then, you know, it used to freak me out. Now, I don't know, guys. And please, if you are listening and you have the time on your hands to just respond to this, don't people who, like myself, who just, I fill up, when I'm like, "Oh, look, my car's low," I fill it up. I barely ever check the slip. So when they say petrol's going up, I'm going, gosh darn it, I have to pay more.
Oh, no, no, no.
But I don't know how much I'm paying anyway.
Oh, so snap. No, no, no. You are one of the people who we call well off. You are one of the people who does not necessarily set aside a budget every month going towards your petrol because you realize, hore, bona, I am going to need X amount of money this month to make sure I do not find myself in a situation where my bank account is in the minus balance and I now suddenly don't have any money for the petrol. No, Julie, you are one of those people who are well off, is what we say. It's fine. Don't be ashamed of being well off. Own it. You worked hard for your money.
Wow. It's not, dude, it's not even that, man. You know, it took me a long time to buy a car. And when I bought a car, it was simply because I had told myself, "Dumi, you have a car," which means you are saying, "I can afford to service this thing. I can afford to keep it moving on the road." That's the only reason I bought a car. You know what I mean? So maybe that's why, because I just told myself, "This thing is coming at a cost. I'm going to live with that cost." Because also, what is it going to help me, my friend, to go and stress about? And also, I suppose it does get stressful when I do look at the price of food. Then I'm like,
Apparently, the price of potatoes, for some reason, has skyrocketed in ways that I cannot understand.
Yeah.
And I don't even know why that is the case. But yeah. But, you know, again, it's just a matter of you're sitting there and then you have this load that gets put on you and you're like, okay. And then very soon there's a second load and then a third load and a fourth load. And you're thinking, I don't know how much more I can take of this. I feel like I'm about to buckle under the pressure. And then there's a fifth load and the sixth load. And I guess, you know, then they announce that the price of petrol is going up. And then you just think to yourself, guys, come on. Which is why.
It does get stressful.
Which is why we should all sign up to the Blesser app. The Blesser Finder. King, Blesser Finder.
Blesser Finder.
That is where I'm going.
There's a Blesser Finder.
There's a Blesser Finder app. Did you not hear about this?
Oh, my God. There's a Blesser. There's some guy out there who's allowing himself to belong on an app for people to eat his money.
There is an app that understands that like-minded people, aka people with money who want pretty young things on their hands and who are prepared to spend that money, as well as pretty young things who are looking to spend somebody else's money. There is an understanding that these like-minded people like to get together and do transactional types
instead of driving to the corner of Oxford or picking her up in Hillbrow, you can now get her online. Sis.
You can get her online and then you can take her to Hawaii or you can, you know, dress her up in Louis Vuitton.
Guys,
or whatever.
Guys, this is an escort agency that cuts out the middleman. I'm sorry. It sounds That's like all
you,
I'm hearing
It
right
sounds
now.
Like you have a problem with this app.
I have a serious problem with
Bless
this app.
Her finder. I think, yeah, bless her finder.
My sister's out there thinking I'm judging for the first time ever. Yep, I'm judging.
But what?
Yeah.
Why?
Hey, Ekamun. Hey, Ekamun.
Everybody's got a... Everybody's
so
got,
let me understand. Since the blesser goes up there to put the value of the blessings you will get, you who is being blessed and obviously offering up something in order to can be blessed, are you also putting up the value of what this blesser of yours is going to get in return? I mean... For me, you know, the blesser thing, I've never had an issue with it because I get it. There are relationships that become that in terms of rajola.
So then what difference is this?
No, listen to me. We're having a thing. We've been having a thing. And then obviously one of us becomes economically stronger than the other. Or we met on that level where one was economically stronger than the other. Yabo? But where I separated it from the sugar daddy, sugar mama situation was that these blessers, it would appear, it's not a thing of, I'm supporting your life. It's a thing of babies always saying, yo, lover, can you please get me a new what pump? Ooh, lover, you know, my car boiled over. Ooh, lover, you know, my car keeps cutting off. And then this guy goes, and like, here's a one series. Let's stop. I don't like you struggling. That's what I've understood blessers to be. The blesser who knows, Mabale buys herself nice weaves. She always looks great.
No.
And then Mabale's like, yeah, I'm liking weaves today. And then Lava goes, hey, Lava, I see you're always in the Brazilian. I discovered this Peruvian or I discovered this Mongolian. So I'm trying to understand.
No, but the blesser has always been exploiting, though. He's always been opportunistic in that sense because he understands that there are some people out there who will gravitate towards the fact that they've got money to spend on you.
No, my issue with this blesser thing is when this term started floating around, the people who were talking about it, we're not talking about this person wire is buying me things. It was a thing of, no, me, I'm taken care of. If I'm in a bind, this is what my blesser hooks me up with. Not, I am with this guy and this is my ATM.
No, that is not how I understood it. I have never understood a blesser to be somebody who helps you out when you're in a bind.
They just
My understanding of a blesser, and maybe the word blesser is a new, fresh term, but the actual core definition of what defines that kind of relationship has always been the same since the beginning of time. A man with power or a woman with power, financial power, has an understanding that money and that kind of thing attracts a certain kind of other person, and so they have no qualms in lavishing them with luxurious things, which is why they always, you know, buying things
in too many amounts for them.
Like he'll buy you everything. He won't just save you when you need money because he buys you everything.
And then now we
or she buys
blessers.
You everything.
So what we are doing is we are saying this. This is what we are saying. This blesser blesses you and then you get biblical in return.
Yeah.
Is
exactly what we are saying. This is Sipping Tea with myself, Mama Livoloi, and Kumi Moraike.
My love for Questa. Oh my god.
CliffCentral.com. This is one of Dumi's favorites, right?
Yeah, Bona. Favorite artist, favorite song, just favorite. I love Questa. Like, guys, if you hear Dumi Marake is remarrying, just don't be surprised.
Ooh. I work out there. Yes, and then you can get him.
Yes, I do.
And then you can... Mamela. And then you could get him to whisper sweet nothings in your ear in that voice.
Joe. And you know it's Cresta. He's got that vibe. That left her field. They're like, baby, please whisper sweet nothings. Nixim 9. Luther.
I think you'd have some competition, though. Duncan, what did you say now?
Oh, I was just saying that on one of Sumizi's earlier shows, he did say that he thinks Questa's got a long schlong. And he'd take it from Questa.
Oh, okay. All right. So there are a lot of people lining up ready to take all sorts of things from Abo Questa and Bob Lesa. You know, these are the times that we live in, people.
Can we close this Blesa topic quickly?
It's fine. We can close it.
I'm seeing people are responding. It's lovely. Some are disagreeing with some definitions. Some agree. It's fine. This is all I have to say. Let's be fair. You know, ladies, I mean, the guys are also being blessed.
Yeah, but the numbers.
By the female blessers.
Yeah.
So all I'm asking is, if you are a blessee or a recipient or the blessed, as it were, can you at least make sure you keep delivering so that the blesser at least feels valued?
What do you mean?
What I mean is now... Your blesser, it mustn't become a habit of now blesser gets love when you need something. Number one, always deliver. If you know that blesser not only blesses you quality, blesser is blessing you upon demand. Nana, the only fair thing is that you yourself are going to reciprocate and go down on your knees to thank blesser.
Oh, no way.
At request. That means don't even stop me on this one. If we are going to say we are accepting this thing to be a thing. I say this because when I consider how my standing might be financially, I am more likely to be a blesser than a blessed.
Yeah.
Unless I decide I want yachts and private jets.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Then you must know this person must not beg to be with you. This person must not beg to get nice things. This person... Because you are not having to beg them to bring blessings. Charmer, you are using cranberry wipes on that cooch so that when he gets to that cooch, it is smelling like Christmas for him. Ntanga, you are drinking lots of pineapple juice so that Sister Blesser must get the good stuff. And you are arriving energized. You are not eating the cake I'm eating this morning, this takeaway stuff. You are drinking maheu, Baba. You are eating banana. You are arriving there healthy. You are eating peanuts. You are healthy as an ox.
And you are then going you for 6 rounds if she demands it. So.
Hey. You arrive prepared. You must assume I have got protection, but you still bring some. You even bring that stuff with the picture of the dragon there. The one that adds an extra zing. You must, because for me, don't just be sitting there. Let's make it an exchange. Make it a fair exchange. So that should it end, no one can accuse anyone of anything. When it ends, he shouldn't be able to say, yeah. She shouldn't be able to say, yeah, koshanisi. Then you must be able to can turn around and say, do you see how firm your thighs are?
Yeah,
welcome. Do you see how high your joy is from all those endorphins that have been released on the table, against the wall, on the edge of the bed? You must be able to recount all of those things and say, remember that massage? Remember how you were crying in my arms after he caught that SMS I sent to you? Yeah, I comforted you and I stood back and I let you fix things today. You see?
But now hang on to me. When we started having this conversation, didn't you start off by trying to make the point that the blesser is always going to be in control? The control is always going to lie with them in their court. And so they can get to be as abusive or as manipulative as they want to.
But that's not the point I'm making. That's not being disempowered by this. No, I did not say that. I categorically deny.
No, you were alluding to the point that this is what you want to make, that these people will then always have the power in their hands as the blesser. Or am I wrong?
No, I was just saying it feels like a transaction on the corner of a Hillbro Street. You see, I wasn't lying when I say love Questa. Can you hear my phone ringing there?
That's
I'm going to hang up.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, Just so you know, no, I wasn't making it
no,
up.
No, you are not
it's
making it
even
up.
My ringtone.
You really do love
okay,
it.
Okay, now I'm going to put my phone on silent.
Now you
I
must put
fired.
Your phone on
I
silent.
I didn't realize. It's a new phone, because ladies and gentlemen.
That's what happens with well-off people. They get new phones every other day. No,
it's cheap people
I'm
like
joking.
Me who believe in contracts. Because that way I don't have to worry about buying a new phone. I just get it.
When people want to start having a moral discussion around this blessy thing, then that's when it gets interesting.
Yes.
Because apparently the people behind this app also tried to launch some kind of campaign on their website with the hashtag morals must fall, which a lot of critics reacted badly to. They're like, where is this society going?
Yeah.
Why must morals now suddenly fall? And then people are saying, but blessers and blessees are in a immoral kind of situation anyway.
What's immoral about it? Who's being hit?
Well, this is the thing.
Who's being hit?
This is where the conversation gets heated, is people are saying, morals.
Mm-mm.
People, where have our morals
Forget
gone?
Forget morals. Let's
I'm saying,
basics.
Morals... But I mean, if at the end of the day, everyone is, well, not everyone, but this is, if you are a willing participant to get into this kind of arrangement because you are looking to get X, Y, and Z from someone that you are, I don't know for what reason, either you are incapable of providing the good life for yourself right now, or you are too lazy to try and work towards providing the good life for yourself. Whatever the reason may be, you've come to that conclusion on your own. You are a willing participant and you enter into this dynamic knowing very full well what it means. It means you're going to get your weaves, you're going to get your you know, your designer heels, your designer bags, you're going to get the trip to Paris every now and again because that is what you want. Okay.
But there's companionship.
You are an adult and you know what you want and you've decided to what lengths you will go to get these things because everyone has a price. This
but
is another thing.
Sometimes there's companionship. There are blessers who... Honestly, it's a genuine relationship. It's just that he knows she can't afford things or she knows he can't afford certain things. And this person does it for them. Because you know why? I'm going to tell you what my way... For me, it's not a moral issue. It's where the lines get a bit blurred. There are relationships, genuine relationships, where one person is leagues below the other person economically. But it is a genuine love relationship. And you will find that even though this person may not live that affluent life, they're okay with what they have. They're comfortable with what they have. But they're in a relationship with someone who loves showering them with things. That's what I'm saying. For me, this blesser thing gets very confusing for me because if I give you things, if I buy you stuff, if I take you places, if I book you into hotels, if I, you know, sometimes I'm not even a part of that transaction. I'm not saying I've booked us into the Western. I'm saying I've booked you into the Western. You're going to be in the executive suite. You can do whatever you like. Maybe you have kids. You and your kids are going to go into that thing. I am doing it not as collateral, but as I love you and this is what I'm able to give you. And you'll find that that person that you're doing all of this amazing stuff for does so much for you. Nobody sitting on the outside gets it or sees it. But the fact is, this person makes you feel like king of the world or queen of the world. This person makes you feel like you're the sexiest person that ever existed. This person makes you feel important. They listen to you. They argue with you. They stimulate you intellectually. You know what I mean? Like, this blessed thing, I don't want it to also go and have people questioning their relationships or destroy the fabric of those relationships that genuinely I have nothing to do with economics, but the economics has played a part in that. Now we'll be saying, hey, Mabele is blesser, what's all Marekela Koloi, but the blesser has been loving Mabele forever and the blesser can afford it. So what?
But
Mabele didn't ask for it.
But can you really stop people from commenting, people on the outside?
I'm not saying you can stop people from commenting.
I mean,
I'm just saying.
If people make up their mind about an assumption that they have about you and your relationship with your partner, they're going to have that opinion anyway, regardless.
Screw the people. I'm talking to the couple in the relationship themselves. Because now, as a girl, it'll be sad if one day you're not seeing that this guy genuinely cares about you and just wants to spoil you, and you just think that it's collateral, you know? Because also he's going to stop enjoying the relationship if he feels that you're just bending to his or her every demand just because the things they do for you have become collateral.
You know, I must say I am surprised the you know, that, not to say that there are sides here that need to be taken, but I do find it surprising that you are sticking up for the blesser, because, you know, a lot of times people will see the blesser as the one who's
wrong,
doing the exploiting and doing the wrong, and then the blessee or the recipient is probably a victim of some sort. So it is interesting to see the other side. So thank you for that. Now, while we are on the topic of blessers and blessees and what other, you know, what people assume of a relationship or whatever, can we talk about how difficult it is when you are excited about a brand new somebody and you are thinking to yourself, I'm going to introduce him to the family. Yes, it will be nerve-wracking because I know those people, they're very difficult, but I'm going to bring this one because this one, you know, it's been a drought for like the last 3 years and I'm really excited about this guy and oh, he's so great and he's such an intellect and and then you introduce him to the family and friends and then nobody likes him or her. Nobody. It could be for a number of different reasons. Let's not assume that it's bad reasons like, well, you know, he's just come out of jail. No, it's not that kind of thing. It's just that kind of situation where you're into somebody, but then your friends don't like him. They don't think he's cool enough, or they think, nah, she's a bit annoying, drop her. Or, you know, your mother is like, whatever the reason, people just don't like your partner.
Yeah.
That's rough.
That is rough, but then the responsibility is on you to disprove their reasons for not liking your person. My worst is, you know, if they don't like your new person because they still hung up on the last person, then they must just jump. But, you know, it's a tricky one because, let's be honest, also when you're excited like that, Mabali, you are blind. We are seeing things you are not seeing.
Sometimes, so you are actually there as some kind of protective layer to see through the haze that is hormones and I get it,
because sometimes the coach will dictate, you'll be like, whoop, the way this brother person speaking in tongues. Yes,
now you mentioned something interesting here. You said that if they're still hung up on the ex, then they can go jump, but it's very difficult sometimes too, because who was it? It was so funny because with my ex, shortly after we had broken up, him and the sister have kept in touch, and every now and again we'll chat, you know, on Twitter. We're like friendly with each other because there were never issues between us and it's fine. And the one time she tweeted, but why did my brother have to break up with this girl? Because, like, couldn't he even have consulted me first? And it was just so funny. No, like, she said it in a funny way because it was meant to be like, but we were all like, you know, I had a relationship with her too. So it was, you know, it was fine. Like, I understood the way that she meant it. But this is exactly the thing with some of the reasons why people find it difficult to let go of an ex is because, and it's always worse when the mother bonds with a girl and then she becomes an ex and then you are introduced as a new girl and the mother's just on some
This is when the boy needs to sit
you
the
are not
down.
That other girl that I still love, that I was hoping would be my daughter-in-law.
I have met married women who've been married to this guy for 10 years and the mother-in-law is still not understanding why this man is not married to the ex.
That's rough.
And that's because this is where I blame the guys.
Yeah,
brothers, you sit your mother down with due respect and you make it very clear to your mother where your heart belongs. You tell her what this little angel of hers that she misses did to you that made you leave her. Or if you genuinely had just lost interest, you'd lost interest. And that she must just accept this girl because this girl is now a part of you. And if she's not interested in this girl, then she's not interested in you. And you walk. Because if you do not defend the person you're with, who the hell is going to stand up for them? Who? And how is she going to truly believe that there isn't some level of truth to your mother believing that the other person still has a chance if you are not standing up for your person? Because there are two ways of doing it. You can do it in front of your person so that your person can see and your mother can see, you know. Or you do it privately with your mother because you respect your mother that much and you want to show your mother you're not picking that other person over her. You will even tell her, Mama, she doesn't even know we're having this conversation. She has no idea we're having this conversation. I'm having this conversation with you because I love you. Because you are the most irreplaceable woman in my life. But here's a woman who does things for me that you know morally you cannot do.
So, because then we would be having an entirely different conversation.
Because
and
everything else.
The law would have to get involved.
The law would have to get involved. I feel like sometimes men can be such wusses, man.
No, but isn't it because they know sometimes that they're sitting pretty in a position that is, you know, that's of advantage to them, because they're getting to have their cake and eat it too. They're getting to have their mother, who's this woman who will never be replaced by any other woman. And then they also, like, they're sitting pretty and they're like, yeah, but why do I want to upset the apple cart here? It's not my problem.
This is how it happens that then 20 years down the line, this guy dies, and then you find out that you are still seeing that ex-woman, and they were always meeting up at his mother's house, and they actually have a child you never knew about, and now he's dead, and now you must go and share the spoils with this woman who is supposed to no longer be in his wife. If you're going to get married, I'm saying this because as a married woman, I'm realizing something. We see a lot of so-called perfect couples, and I've watched people even when they try and paint myself and my husband that way, and I'm like, it's great that we look fantastic and it's great that you can see we're working. But guys, the amount of work that goes into it, there is so much cuck you must wade through. Do not let one of those things be something as stupid as a mother-in-law getting in the way. Unless you, my brother, you know that you are trying to keep that door a little bit ajar for that ex because you don't know how to let go. Then you need to also be honest with the one you're with. Because there are couples like that, eh?
Mm.
There's a couple like that where the guy lives in his own house, the chick lives in her own house. They have children together and they are happy and they are fulfilled.
So they're not together.
They're together together, but she even says, I refuse to marry him while he's still emotionally too immature. Excuse me, to get into that commitment. They didn't plan this baby. They ended up having this baby. They kept the baby because they said, yeah, but we love each other and we're cool to raise this baby together. What they were not ready for, well, what he was not ready for that she was ready for was marriage. And she still maintains, if I meet a man who wants to marry me,
I'm going to do it.
I'm in there. But for now, the man I want to marry isn't ready and I'm not about to force him to.
Mm. But then does that mean that they're both then still seeing other people?
No, they're together. And for her, look, for her, if he's up to cuck, she doesn't know. But they've been honest to each other as far as the other is comfortable being honest. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's like that. And so with your mother-in-law not liking people, yeah, it's something else. But at the same time, it's also hard for us who, like, you introduced me to your man Mabale and you're excited. And now I need to tell you that, yeah, this prince of yours is a frog.
And how do you have that conversation?
Like I caught him with his jaw dropped as I was walking.
I hadn't even unleashed yet. The nuclear
but
weapons.
There he was.
Which in itself is a difficult conversation to have. Because how do you tell somebody, look, I don't like this person of yours that you are loving every night.
Oh, you say, yeah, but this guy looks like this guy I saw at that other club where guys dress up in other ways. You know what I mean?
Listen, I stumbled upon this website and it's almost time to wrap it up. I don't have anything for hug a man today. It's not because I'm not wanting to hug the men. Mm. It's just because, you know, I've been busy.
My hug a man today is for that guy who's been dating this girl for so long and still goes to her and says, yo, baby, you're bum in those jeans. Yo.
Those jeans.
Doesn't matter how long they've been together, but he's looking at her right now like, yo, she's a fresh chicken coming out of the oven. Like, yo, I cannot resist. I love that.
Especially
when he's not applying to get, like, you know when they say it, but then you look between his pants, there's no attention happening there. He's literally looking at you with awe and love, and he's just letting you know that you're hot.
Well, we will never get enough compliments, right? There will never be a time when somebody who you love and care about says something nice to you that you think, not today, man, I'm busy. Can't you see I'm busy? Yeah, I've got things to do.
But
like,
that one
is my favorite. It's always going to melt your heart and make you feel like,
aw. That one is my favorite because they never think of that. You know, women are obsessed with their asses. I've come to realize the one biggest complaint I've had with my girlfriends, big or small, is always their buttocks. So hug every man out there who has appreciated your buttocks without sounding like a lech.
Who do we have on the line? Hello?
Ah, Mabale.
Oh, Obakeng. Yes.
Yes, how are you?
Yes, good. How are you?
I'm chilling. No, baby, the show is about to wrap up. So, Nigwato, for that, yeah, my 2 cents worth of this whole, you know, validating people, vulnerable with other people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think in most cases, sometimes it depends for who are the people that are commenting. But when I'm about to, you know, like, they're not that relevant in your life. They don't really make or break whatever it is that you're going through or whatever it is that you have in your life. They're relationship only more, you know what I mean?
Mm.
When it starts being significant people that genuinely have, you know, a good interest for you at heart, then that's when you should somewhat look into it, you know what I mean?
But do you
not, because I mean, hey?
Do you not agree though that even though that person's insignificant or whatever, whatever they've said has a bit of an impact? Like how Tabanyan.
No, of course, you know, my name Bhutang, and then they just you know, blow that bubble that you've been blowing for so long. Mm. It's a fun. Mm. You know what I mean? But
yes,
you know?
Yes. Oh, okay. We will excuse your pun. Thank you very much.
I think it depends on the significance of it. But then in the same sense, né, most people have a comment on your relationship, whether their findings are, you know, are warranted or not. It has more to do about them than it has to do about you.
Yeah,
your relationship with whoever that you with makes them feel better about themselves in some other way. But at the end of the day, how could it be horrible if you go more and everything else? You're the one that has to live with your own life. And if you are happy within yourself to, you know, face whatever it is, always face animal to, whether they generally good for you, then that is your responsibility to keep your relationship to be exactly what it is, and you be happy in it. Because they can't make it happy for you, nor can they break it for you.
True.
You know what I mean?
Well, that's a very good note to leave it on. Mm-hmm. Obakeng, thanks for the call.
That is my two cents. Anyway, as usual, dope show.
Thank you.
Dope show.
All right. See well, you. that's where we'll leave it to me. I'm done with you. I'm tired.
No.
Never have you no. Oh, hang on. Did I just turn your microphone off? Yes,
yeah,
I did.
Yes, you did. That's okay. You'll make it up to me. We're going to switch off now. And then we're going to go to the back and you're going to make it up to me.
CliffCentral.com, another edition of Sipping Tea. And don't forget to download the podcast of this and all our other shows. They're really good. They really are.
We're like really smart. We like those chicks. Okay? Last time.
This is CliffCentral.com.